This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-Mab'uthi rahmatil alameen nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim ma ba'd. اليوم الخامس من شهر رمضان المبارك 1444 الموافق ل 27 من شهر مارس 2023 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر لابن كثير ويرفع درجته في العليين. So today, بإذن الله عز وجل, we continue from where we stopped last week. And if you remember on Saturday, we talked about the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the last thing we discussed, which is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ Wallahu ala kulli shay'in shaheed. So we talk about the meaning of this ayah and also the relationship between those two sifat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the surah, the relationship between them and the story, the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing the believers in this city. So he said the reason why those good ones were facing a test by their people, it is simply because they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Aziz Al-Hamid. Al-Aziz meaning sahibu intiqami. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power and the ability to take revenge on behalf of those who are placed into a trial and test by the criminals. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a protector, and the one who is protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody can touch him. But at the same time, test might take place in the life of a believer. You know, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah might let some of those punishment to take place as a test for him, and also means to elevate him in ranking. That's why he says Al-Hamid. It means every single act that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the decree which is planned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is based on hikmah and is praiseworthy. So he says Al-Aziz Al-Hamid. So the scholars, and then he says, Wallahu ala kulli shay'in shaheed. He said, whatever is going on in that city and elsewhere on earth or in the heavens or wherever, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of that. Wallahu ala kulli shay'in shaheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watches, he sees everything that has been done by anyone amongst his creation, and he takes record. And he is going to hold those people who are responsible of whatever was done on this planet, you know, accountable of what they are. What they're doing. قال والله على كل شيء شهيد. So Ibn Kathir says, اختلف أهل التفسير في أهل هذه القصة من هو. There is a controversy among the scholars of tafsir, with regard to the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making reference to in this ayah. Yeah, we don't know exactly who they are. So the scholars of tafsir also have a lot of argument concerning who exactly these people were. قال فأنا علي أنهم أهل فارس حين أراد ملكهم تحليل تزويج المحار. So Ali ibn Abi Talib, there is a narration from Ali ibn Abi Talib that says, those who are the Persians, yeah, the people of Faris, the Persians, when the king, yani at the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was narrating, I mean, the time when this story happened, it actually happens because the king wanted to legalize the tazwij al-maharib, zawaj al-maharib, a person to marry his mahram. Yeah, a daughter married to the father, father married to the daughter, brother to the sister, you know, uncle to his daughter of his brother, you know, issues like that, you know, which is strictly prohibited in the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It used to be halal brother and the brother, you know. That was the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legalized because of the need. Yeah, if it wasn't like that, then human beings will never grow. in the time of Adam alayhi salam, a brother can marry his sister. Why? Because there is nobody, you know, they can marry. There was only Adam and Hawa and their children. There is no any other human beings for them to go and marry from them. They are the only ones. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since He decreed that life is going to be continuous and people will grow, so He legalized that for them. After that, when they grow, the population grow a lot, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it strictly impermissible. In our Sharia, if somebody married that to mahram, it carries, you know, heavy and capital punishment, death penalty, with no segregation between the status of those people who went against this law. So the king wanted to make it halal, and it was haram across the history, but he wanted to make it haram. He wanted to make it halal. فامتنع عليه علماؤه فعمدوا إلى حفر إلى حفر أخدود فقذف فيه أو قذف فيه من أنكر عليه أو قذف فيه من أنكر عليه منهم واستمر تزويج المحارم إلى اليوم واستمر فيهم تحليل المحارم إلى اليوم. سبحان الله. So he says, when the king decided to do that, the scholars, as usual, told him, no, you can't do that. But he is the king. What can they do? So he just continued. Did not pay attention to what they are saying. Instead of submitting and paying attention to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, unfortunately, he punished whoever disagreed with him. So what did he do? He asked his soldiers, you know, to dig those trenches, and he filled them with fire. And whoever disagreed with him, they put them in the ukhdud. واستمر تزوج المحارم فيهم إلى اليوم. And up to this moment, the moment where Ali bin Abi Talib was narrating the story, he said they still have this nikah al-muharim among them. And they have everything in that place, you know. They have the mut'ah, they have, you know, subhanAllah. Very disgusting approach and way of approaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they even do, because until now, those people, you can't trust them at all. You can't trust them at all. Yeah, you can't trust them at all. Some of them are still worshipping the fire back there, claiming that thing. So up to the time of the Ali bin Abi Talib, you know, Ali bin Abi Talib said they still legalize the nikah al-mahari. قال وعنه أنهم كانوا قوما باليمن اقتتل مؤمنوهم ومشركوهم فغلب مؤمنوهم على كفارهم ثم اقتتلوا فغلب الكفار المؤمنين فخدوا لهم الأخاديد وأحرقوهم فيها. وعنهم أنهم كانوا أهل من أهل الحبشة واحدهم حبشي وقال العوفي عن ابن عباس قال ناس من بني إسرائيل خدوا أخدودا في الأرض ثم أوقدوا فيها نارا ثم أقاموا على ذلك الأخدود رجالا ونساء فعارضوا عليها وزعموا أنه دانيال وأصحابه. There is another narration also attributed to Ali bin Abi Talib that says that those are not the Persians, they are some people from Yemen. Some people from Yemen, the community was divided into two, Muslimun and Kufar. So they fought each other. At the first time, the Muslims, they won the battle against the enemies. But then later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, adar al-karrata ala al-mu'minin. They lost the battle. So those Kufar, what did they do? They dig those trenches. And they fill them with fire and put those believers inside. There are some other narrations also from Ali bin Abi Talib saying that they are from Habasha. And you have some narration here and there. But Wallahu A'lam, you know, it might be the closest opinion is the opinion that says this is referring to the story that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith of Suhaib. Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, kana fi man كان قبلكم مالك وكان له ساحر فلما كبر الساحر قال للملك إني قد كبرت أو كبرت كبرت سني وحضر أجلي فادفع إلي غلاما أعلمه السحر فدفع إليه غلاما فكان يعلمه السحر. So there is a narration which is authentic, you know, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, collected by so many collectors, Muslim and other collectors, which is famous actually, the Ghulam and the Sahib. So Suhaib said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated this story to them, that there used to be a king, and this king has Sahib. He has a magician that works with him to facilitate things for him through the sihr. Yeah. So this Malik, he has a sahir with him. فَلَمَّا كَبِرَ السَّاحِرُ When this sahir, this magician reached the old age, قَالَ لِلْمَلِكِ So he told the king, he said, please send me, قَالَ لِلْمَلِكِ إِنِّي قَدْ كَبْرَتْ سِنِّي He said, my age is, I mean, I'm too old now. I'm quite old now. وَحَضَرَ أَجَلِي And I'm about to die. So he reached the old age. So he told the king, now I am at this age. And my ajal also has arrived. He says, please send me a boy that I can teach the sihr. A'udhu billah. He said, send me somebody that I can teach him the sihr so that he can continue with the mission after me. فَدَفَعَ إِلَيْهِ غُلَامًا يُعَلِّمْهُ السِّحْرِ So the king gave him a ghulam, a young boy, to teach him sihr so that he can replace the magician after the magician dies. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ السَّاحِرِ وَبَيْنَ الْمَلِكِ رَاهِبٌ فَأَتَى الْغُلَامُ عَلَى الرَّاهِبِ فَسَمِعَ مِنْ كَلَامِهِ فَأَعْجَبَهُ نَحْوُهُ وَكَلَامُ So what happened is between the sahir, the magician, and the palace of the king, there is a rahib. Rahib is a monk from amongst the children of Israel. He's a monk, somebody who believes in Isa alayhi salam and worship Allah according to the religion of Isa alayhi salam, according to the Sharia of Isa alayhi salam. Kind of push it. You push. So this rahib, you know, he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the Sharia of Isa alayhi salam. Worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the Sharia of Isa alayhi salam. فَأَتَى الْغُلَامُ عَلَى الرَّاهِبِ فَسَمِعَ كَلَامِهِ فَأَعْجَبَهُ نَحْوَهُ وَكَلَامُهُ So he went to the rahib. You know, he heard him reading the Torah or Injil, you know. So he gets inside the cave, the place where the rahib is worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he found what he is reading very interesting. Yeah, of course, this is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he found it very interesting. وَكَانَ إِذَا أَتَى السَّاحِرَ ضَرَبَهُ وَقَالَ So when he found it interesting, so every time on his way to the palace, because this is where the magician is teaching him the thing. So anytime on his way to the palace to go to see the magician and learn the magic from him, he will pass through the rahib and listen to his recitation. So what happened is whenever he reaches the palace, he will be late because he was there listening from the recitation of the rahib. فقال وكان إذا أتى الساحرة وكان إذا أتى الساحرة ضربه وقال ما حبسك وإذا أتى أهله ضربوه وقالوا ما حبسك So what happened is since he is late to the palace, whenever he reached the magician at the palace, he will beating and tell him where you late, where have you been? And whenever he goes back, also he's going to pass through the rahib and listen to his recitation, and he'll be late to the house. And the family also will beat him. So Fashaka Dalika ila Rahibi, فقال إذا أراد الساحر أن يضربك فقل حبسني أهلي وإذا أراد أهلك أن يضربوك فقل حبسني الساحر. So the boy complained to the rahib. So now since the rahib already knows about his presence, you know, so they talk to each other. So he told him, this is what is happening whenever I reach home and whenever I reach the sahib. So the rahib told him, what you should do? Whenever you go to your family, if they ask you, why are you late? Tell them, I was late because of the sahib. He kept me with him. There are some new lessons, you know. And whenever you go to the sahib, if he wanted to beat you, you should tell him that I was late because of the family. Yeah, that's how he managed to, get out of this punishment that he used to receive from both the sahir and the magician and the family. قال فبينما هو ذات يوم إذ أتى على دابة عظيمة فظيعة قد حبست الناس فلا يستطيعون أن يجوزوا. So the boy kept on going to the magician, but on the way he will pass by the rahib, you know, the monk, and he will listen to the recitation, you know, from the monk. And he kept on doing this until the time, you know, when he was on his way to either home or the magician, he saw a group of people standing on the road, and none of them was able to pass, to cross, to move forward because of a huge animal that blocked the way, and it doesn't let anyone approach it. In some narration, they mentioned asad, you know, a lion. So that huge animal was there, so they couldn't pass. So when the boy came and he saw people gathering in the place and nobody have the courage to approach that animal, so the boy says, اليوم أعلم أمر الراهب أحب إلى الله أم أمر الساحر. He said, today I'm going to test to see which one is correct, the rahib or the sahib. Yeah, young man, you know, and this is the first time he experienced something from the rahib. Yeah, they used to believe that the king is the Allah, you know, أعوذ بالله, is the God. So the first time he got this, you know, that minute percent of doubt is there. So when he saw that animal, he says, today, inshallah, I will test and see which one is correct, the rahib or the sahib. The rahib or the sahib. قال فأخذ حجرا فقال اللهم إن كان أمر الراهب حب إليك وأرضى من أمر الساحر فاقتل هذه الدابة حتى يجوز الناس. So he picked up a stone, small stone, and then he said, Ya Allah, if the rahib is correct and the sahir is wrong, if the rahib is correct, it's upon what you love and what you want us to do, and the sahir, the magician, is wrong, Ya Allah, kill this animal. Yeah. So subhanAllah, he took the stone and he threw the animal with the stone. ورماها فقتلها. He hits the animal, it died instantly. So when this happened, now the boy is confirmed, you know, that the rahib is the true person and the sahir is a liar and is wrong. Yeah. قال فرماها فقتلها ومضى الناس فأخبر الراهب بذلك. So people were able to pass. And people were happy. They found it so strange. But nobody will and pay attention that much to it because they believe this one is supposed to be replacing the biggest magician in the city. So many of them will be thinking that this is magic. Yeah, many of them will be thinking that this is magic. So people pass. So the boy went to the rahib and he told him about what happened. فَقَالَ أَيْ بُنَيْ أَنْتَ أَفْضَلُ مِنِّي وَإِنَّكَ Subhanallah. This is a sunnah of the righteous people. He says, son, my son, he says, today you are better than me. Yeah, because this is karama, right? Yeah, in the past, they have so many things like this. In our ummah also, we have some few. In the time of the Prophet, they have a lot. But now, you cannot differentiate between the devils and the truthful ones. That's why Imam Shafi said, when you see a person flying in the air or walking on the sea, you shouldn't trust him until you weigh his activities and actions with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to see whether he is following the correct sharia of Allah SWT or not. Because by Allah, there are people who are devils, really, really devils. You might see them walking on the air or walking, flying in the air or walking on the sea, you know, or doing so many things. This is the jajila. Yeah, they are using shayateen. Yeah, that's why, you know, from time to time, we hear a lot of true stories, you know, about those people who got into trouble at the end of the day, you know. When somebody recites Ayatul Kursi or somebody recites Qul Huwallahu Ahad, Qul A'udhu Birabbin Nas, those shayateen will run away. When the shaitan run away, that person will lose the focus. If he's flying in the air, he's going to fall down. Yeah, that's what Imam Shafi wanted. Because if you are sincere and you, and you recite the Quran, when that person is flying in the air, you know, because the true awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala don't come and promote this. Actually, when something happens like this, they try to hide it so much so that nobody can see them. Yeah, because it's a fitna. If people know that you have this, trust me, if you're not careful, you're going to lose the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're going to lose the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is that? Because you'll be thinking that, yeah, I'm so and so and so person, I'm very close to Allah. You'll start getting proud of yourself, you know, start becoming arrogant, and it will become business in the way we see it nowadays. Yeah. Imagine the shayateen are helping them, and they make it big business. What if it's true from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? For sure they are going to make it bigger than what they are doing. So the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the true awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, actually they don't even let people know about them. They don't pay attention to those things, actually. They try to hide whatever is taking place, and they go scared a lot because they don't want people to see, because they don't know what kind of attitude and behavior they will be having after people see this thing coming from them. Up to this karama of the awliya remains until the day of judgment. But who is truthful among the people who claim to be having the karama? Allahu alam. And that's why Imam Shafi says the best way to test this is to look at that person, who he is. Who is he? You know, if it is a person who is very strong in his righteousness, and we know him to be amongst the people of Masajid, and this which happens to him, he tried to hide it, but people know about that, and he tried to run away, you know, but they keep on following him, and he tried to stop them by force, you know. These are the righteous people, they will never let you come to them for this purpose. When he sees the karama, he will never agree with you to become closer to him for this. Some of them leave the city, actually. They will go to another place where nobody knows them and stay there to preserve their integrity and their amanah and their iman, you know, and their good behavior with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, as I told you, it's very dangerous. Yeah. We have them in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Somebody was placed in a boiling oil and he came out of it, just like that. There was no part of his body that is burnt. Yeah, that's karama. But go and read his history. It was very dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did he ever promote this? No. People know his capacity at that time. Nobody is even paying attention to him. Nobody goes to him, you know, and tell him, oh, yeah, the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People know that Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, when he makes dua, Allah accepts his dua instantly. He was just living with them as a normal person. Yeah. Only in our time you have this, you know, when this thing happened, then people will make it a big issue and this person becomes somebody and people will be going to his house from time to time, you know, pushing him up until the time he makes it as a business. This Tamim al-Dari, the Palestinian companion, Umar was informed that there is a fire in the forest, you know. So Umar told him, Tamim, please do something. Just like that, Umar told him, Tamim, do something. And this the forest is on fire. You know. He told him, please do something. So Umar said, he says, Wallahi, I saw with my own eyes. It's not somebody telling me this story. He said, I saw him with my own eyes. You know, he was pushing the fire, pushing it to somewhere else, you know. How is he doing it? Wallahu alam. But just pushing the fire with his hand, you know. Until the time he pushed it away from the community. That's Tamim al-Dari. What do you call that? Karamatu al-awliya. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, two companions, they were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what happened was, they left the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at night. So they were going home and it was too dark. They can't see the road. So each and every one of them was holding a stick. The stick of one of them became light. SubhanAllah, they can see the road now. When they reach the place where they are supposed to be separated, now if they are separated, one of them doesn't have a light. His stick also has a light now. Allah SWT gave his stick also light, then they got separated. What do you call that? Karama. But they live a normal life, you know. Al-Ata' ibn al-Hadrami, a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was going to Bahrain. Ibn Kathir narrated the story when he was talking to the sea. You know, they couldn't pass the sea because they didn't have ships. But they have to leave, you know, to accomplish the mission. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent them to Al-Bahrain. So they don't know what to do. So he looked at the sea and he told the sea, you are moving because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever you're doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you permission to do that. And we are also here because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He asked us to go to that place and we cannot go as long as you are between us. So please let us work on you. People found the joke, you know. What is he talking about? And then he looked at the people, he said, I've already made my intention. I'm going to work on it. They told him, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to work. So everyone was just watching him to see, is he really serious? SubhanAllah, Ibn Kathir says, it's a very famous story. He walked on the sea, few steps, and people see him not sinking in the sea and not drowning. Then everyone goes, you know. Those people who are riding horses, they keep riding their horses. They cross the sea like this. SubhanAllah. What do you call that? Karama. Do they make it a big issue? No. If we sit down to mention, the last one I will mention, which is the strangest thing I heard, you know, quoted by Sheikh Islam and some other scholars, you know, which is true story to them, you know, that this person, he was participating in one of the battles. Unfortunately, he lost his horse. And it was too far between the battlefield and his house. So now after the battle, they won. They're going back home. He doesn't have a right. He says, Ya Allah, help. You know, he said, Ya Allah, help. SubhanAllah. The scholars mentioned that the horse stood up. So he put his things, his weapons and things on the horse. And he said, Ya Allah, I just want to borrow this horse. Until the time he reaches home with this horse that was dead. And then Allah SWT brought it back. Just like that, for him. Allahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. So he reached home. By the time he reached home, he told his kid, please come very quickly because this is amana that I borrowed this horse. And come and pick up the things and remove it from the back of the horse. And right after they remove it, the horse dropped down dead, you know. They just removed the thing on the horse and they went back dead. What do you call that? Karama. But they don't make it a big issue. If we sit from this, it's true karama that happens to the righteous people, but they never make it a big issue. But in our time, then it's subhanAllah. The fake one, but we make it a big issue. So this is what this Rahib is referring to when he talked to the boy. He said, he says, you are going to be tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are better than me. And you will receive a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, I advise you to be patient. And فَإِنُ بْتُلِيْتَ فَلَا تَدُلَّ عَلَيَّ. If you are tested, and the test that will come is that people will put you into trouble. Because when people know this, and also especially in this country, you're going to have two types of people. Some people praising you, coming to you for support, and others, they will be fighting you, especially the king, because the king told them he is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get the idea. So he told them, they're going to put you on trial. And please, if they put you on this trial, la tadull alayya, do not tell them about me. The rahib told him, you're going to be tested, and they will catch you, and they will ask you, who is teaching you these things? Please don't tell them about me. قَالَ فَلَا تَدُلَّ عَلَيَّ فَكَانَ الْغُلَامُ يُبْرِئُ الْأَكْمَهَ وَالْأَبْرَصَ وَسَائِلَ الْأَدْوَاءِ وَيَشْفِيهُ. So the boy kept on, yarhamukallah, he kept on healing the leper, you know, those people who are suffering from leprosy, and also those people who are blind, you know, and those people who are having some other, you know, subhanAllah, chronic illnesses that you don't think somebody can come out of it. The boy, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be able to give them shifa. Yarhamukallah. Allah, he will make dua for them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them the shifa. And for sure, if this is happening, the king is going to invite him. So he kept on doing this, and who is doing this for him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَانَ لِلْمَلِكِ جَلِيسٌ فَعَمِيَّ فَسَمِعَ بِهِ فَأَتَاهُ بِهَدَايَا كَثِيرًا. So, and the Malik, the king, he has a personal advisor, somebody who sits with him. And that person became blind. So when he heard about the boy healing those people who are blind, so he went to him. And since he is part of the government, so you can imagine how much is he going to bring of hadaya. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said he came along with him with huge amount of gift. قال فكان فسمع به فأتاه بهدايا كثيرة فقال اشفني ولك ما هاهنا أجمع. He said, please heal me, and I promise to give you whatever you see me brought here. فقال ما أنا أشفي أحدا إنما يشفي الله عز وجل. He said, actually, I don't give shifa for anyone, but the one who is given the shifa is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the essence of Tawheed. Because the doctors, they are just a means to provide, what do you call, the wasila. They're just a means, you know. But the one who is activating that means to be active, you know, and to be effective is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So when he told him, please give me shifa, heal me, he said, no, I don't do that. But the one who does it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you believe in him, he says, if you believe in فَإِنْ آمَنْتَ بِهِ دَعَوْتُ اللَّهَ فَشَفَاكَ فَآمَنَ بِهِ فَآمَنَ فَدَعَ اللَّهَ فَشَفَاكَ. So he said, just like that, he said, yes, فَآمَن. He believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the boy made dua for him. And immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him the shifa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him the shifa. So he believed and he got the privilege. ثم أتى الملك فجلس منه نحو ما كان يجلس فقال له الملك يا فلان من رد عليك بصرك. So that Jalis, personal advisor, he went to the king and he sat next to the king as he always do. And the king asked him, saw him seeing because he used to be blind, but now he sees everyone. The king was surprised. So he looked at him, he said, يا فلان. He called him by his name. He says, من رد عليك بصرك. Who brought back your sight? Who gave you back your eyesight? فَقَالَ رَبِّي MashaAllah. He says, رَبِّي but he uses a word that تَحْتَمِل. The king might think that he's talking about him, right? So he says, رَبِّي. He says, my lord. فَقَالَ أَنَا. He says, I. Get this loser, you know. He says, you mean I? قَالَ لَا. He says, no. رَبِّي وَرَبُّكَ اللَّهُ. He says, my Lord and your Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm referring to the one who created me and you. قَالَ وَلَكَ رَبٌّ غَيْرِي. He said, do you mean you have another Lord, another creator other than me? This guy is really drunk. قَالَ نَعْمْ رَبِّي وَرَبُّكَ اللَّهُ. He said, yes, there is. Me and you, we're both created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَمْ يَزَلْ يُعَذِّبُهُ حَتَّى دَلَّ عَلَى الْغُلَامِ. So he kept on punishing him until the time he guided, he told them about the boy. Yeah, that's how it begins. That's how the test began. He kept on punishing him, punishing. Why didn't the Jalis, the personal advisor, just give them what they want and save his life, even in the sense of what they call taqiyya, hiding the truth in his heart, but saying something outwardly like what Ammar did, you know. Because if you see here, فَبَعَثَ إِلَيْهِ فَقَالَ أَيْ بُنَيْ بَلَغَ مِنْ سِحْرِكَ أَنْ تُبْرِيَ الْأَكْمَهَ وَالْأَبْرَسَ وَهَذِهِ الْأَدْوَى. Okay, I'm coming back to that question that I asked you. So prepare the answer before I come back. So the king asked, since that man says, the one who gave me, who teach me this, and who asked, who teach me this, you know, guided me to this faith, is the boy. So the king asked for the boy to be brought. They brought the boy to him. So when the boy reached the king, he told him, son, now your magic, your expertise in magic is so great, in the way you can even heal the people who have the leprosy and who are blind, you know, and some very, very, very big illnesses. قَالَ مَا أَشْفِي أَحَدًا إِنَّمَا يَشْفِي اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So the boy told him, no, I never do this. The one who gave them the shifa is Allah Azza wa Jal. قَالَ أَنَا. He says, you are talking about me? قَالَ لَا. He said, no, not you. قَالَ أَوَلَكَ رَبٌ غَيْرِ. He said, do you have any Rabb other than me? قَالَ رَبِّي وَرَبُّكَ اللَّهُ. He said, my Lord and yours is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَخَذَهُ أَيْضًا بِالْعَذَابِ فَلَمْ يَزَلْ يُعَذِّبُ حَتَّى دَلَّ عَلَى الرَّحِيمِ. They kept on punishing him. They punish until the time he just tell them about the Sahih. Remember the Sahih told him, please don't tell them about me. But he was punished so much, he couldn't bear it, you know. He couldn't bear it. That's why sometimes in some of these places where injustice is taking place, a person confess, you know, for things which he did not do. But the punishment is so tough, he cannot bear it. He just want them to stop, you know. So that's why Imam Ahmad in the past, he says, if they are fighting and the enemy got you, which one is better? To fight until you got the shahada or to just submit yourself to them? He said, fight. Don't submit yourself to them. He said, فَإِنَّ الْأَسْرَ شَدِيدِ. With the Muslims, don't fight. We tell the kafir, don't fight, come. Yeah, you might accept Islam, and also the treatment is 5-star, you know. Ya Allah, we call them brothers, we call them friends, you know. And nobody's allowed to harm them, which is contrary to that which is happening in the other side. So you told, fight until death, because those people, they put a person into heavy and severe punishment, sometimes losing his aql. That's why sometimes a person would just confess it. I just wanted to understand why the boy goes against his word. The punishment reaches a stage where he cannot handle it, so he just told him about the rahib. فَأُتِيَ بِالرَّاهِبِ فَقَالَ رَجِعَ عَنْ دِينِكَ. So now rahib, because he's the scholar in the city, so he doesn't need to pressure him that much. So he told him, اِرْجِعَ عَنْ دِينِكَ فَأَبَى. He says, leave that sharia that you're following. Stay away from it. Come back and worship me. فَأَبَى. The rahib says, no, I will not. وَضَعَ الْمِنْشَارَ فِي مَفَقِ رَأْسِهِ حَتَّى وَقَعَ شِقَّهُ. SubhanAllah. So he put the saw in the middle of his head. It cut him into two pieces. The Prophet ﷺ said, until then, they make him two parts. And he died. Of course, he died. وَقَالَ لِلْأَعْمَى. That's Jalis, the personal advisor. اِرْجِعَ عَنْ دِينِكَ فَأَبَى. He told him also, change your religion. He also refused. فَوَضَعَ الْمِنْشَارَ فِي مَفَقْ رَأْسِي حَتَّى وَقَعَ شِقَّهُ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. So he puts the thing on his head until then he cut him into two pieces, he also died. So my question is, why didn't they just tell them, okay, we accept your religion, but in their heart they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why can't they just say with the mouth, we accept your religion, and they keep their faith in their heart? Why? For their religion, good. For those nations, that concession is not given for them. Yeah, they have to resist. They cannot say, okay, I will hide my iman and then I just tell him something with my mouth. No. They have to just tell him no. Yeah. For the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have this concession whereby if you're pressured and you realize that you lose your life, if you don't say what they want, you can say anything and have the iman in your heart because they cannot read that which is in your heart. So that's why they refuse. Told him, change your religion, he refused. Until the time they got him down. وَقَالَ لِلْغُلَامِ ارْجِعْ عَنْ دِينِكَ فَأَبَى. So he told the boy, change your religion. And the boy refused to change his religion. فَأَبَى فَوَضَعَ الْمِنْشَارَ فِي مَفْرَقِ رَأْسِهِ مَفْرِقِ رَأْسِهِ حَتَّى قَالَ فَأَبَى فَبَعَثَ بِهِ مَعَ نَفَرٍ إِلَى جَبَلِ كَذَا وَكَذَا وَقَالَ إِذَا بَلَغْتُمْ ذِرْوَتَهُ فَإِنْ رَجَعَ عَنْ دِينِهِ وَإِلَّا فدهدهوه من فوقه فذهبوا به فلما علوا به الجبل قال اللهم اكفنيهم بما شئت فرجف بهم الجبل فدهدهوا أجمعين. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the king told them, take the boy. And the boy, he did not do what he did with the two people, the rahib and the other one. But he told them, take him to the highest mountain in the city. When you go on top of the mountain, ask him first, would you like to remain in your religion or you will change back to the religion of the king? If he accepts to change, then leave him. But if he doesn't accept, then just throw him from the mountain. So when they reached the mountain and they told him that, he said, no, I will not change. And he made dua. He says, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, suffice me. He says, Ya Allah, protect me. And deal with them with that which they deserve, with whatever you wish. And subhanAllah, the mountain shook with them. They fell, all of them except him, and they died. وَجَاءَ الْغُلَامِ يَلْتَمِسُ حَتَّى دَخَلَ عَلَى الْمَلِكِ فَقَالَ مَا فَعَلَ أَصْحَابُكَ فَقَالَ كَفَانِيهِمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَبَعَثَ بِهِ مَعَ نَفَرٍ في قرقور فقال إذا لججتم به البحر فإن رجع عن دينه وإلا فغرقوه في البحر فلججوا به البحر فقال الغلام اللهم اكفنيهم بما شئت فغرقوا أجمعين. So the boy came back to the king and he took the permission of the Hurras, the securities at the palace. They let him inside. So he reached the king and the king saw him. So he asked him, what happened to you, the people that went with you? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got them. You know, so the king was not patient. He got mad. You know, he asked people to go and put him in the sea. So they took him in a boat. And when they reached the middle of the sea, they asked him to change his religion. He doesn't want to change. And he made that dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got them all in the sea. So he came back to the king until the time he get inside the palace of the king. فَقَالَ كَفَانِهِمُ اللَّهِ. The king asked him, what happened to the people I sent with you? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of them. ثُمَّ قَالَ الْمَلِكِ إِنَّكَ لَسْتَ بِقَاتِلِي حَتَّى تَفْعَلَ مَا أَمُرُكَ بِهِ فَإِنْ أَنْتَ فَعَلْتَ مَا أَمُرُكَ بِهِ قَتَلْتَنِي. He said, you should know that you can never be able to kill me until the time you do what I am commanding you to do. If you do what I command you to do, then you can kill me. وَإِلَّا فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَسْتَطِيعُ قَتْلِي. He said, if you don't do what I command you, you cannot kill me. So he asked him, what is that? قَالَ تَجْمَعُ النَّاسَ فِي صَعِيدٍ وَاحِدٍ ثُمَّ تَصْلُبُنِي عَلَى جِذْعٍ وَتَأْخُذْ سَهْمًا مِنْ كِنَانَتِي ثُمَّ قُلْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ رَبِّ هَذَا الْغُلَامِ. He says, you have to bring all the city in a place. You have to invite everyone. And also you make a manassa stage where I'm supposed to go and stand on that stage. And you crucified me. Yeah, you bring a jither, you know, a wood and put it and make me like this. Yeah. And then after you do that, he says, you take an arrow from my arrows, you know, not yours. As group of arrows, you take one of them and sadirhu nahwi, you know, target me with the arrow. And before you shoot, you have to say Bismillah Rabbi Hadal Gulam. You have to say in the name of Allah, the Lord of this boy, louder. You know, he has a purpose in that because he said everyone should come, you know, and people already believe that the king is Allah, except a few who accepted the boy, and the people kept on growing, except a few who accepted the boy. So the king did whatever he asked. He crucified him, he bring the arrow, he took it from his kinana, and then he targeted the boy with it. So what happened? He says, Bismillah Rabbi Hadha Gulam. He never knew what would happen. So he says, Bismillah Rabbi Hadha Gulam. Qala, if you do that, you're going to kill me. So he did exactly what the boy asked him to do. And then he says, Bismillah Rabbi Hadha Gulam. And then he shoot. When he shoot, the arrow went fi sidghi until this place. You call this place what? Temple, right? Yeah. So he shot him on this place. When he says Bismillah Rabbi Hazar Gulam, the arrow went to this place. And the boy was killed. When the boy died, you remember, they know, the people in the city, they already know that the boy had been trying to kill the boy and he wasn't able to do so. And now the boy told him, if you say Rabbi Hazar Gulam, you can kill. So the boy wants people to be aware of this. So right after the boy died, and the people heard what the king said, the whole city started to say, Amanna bi Rabbi Hadha al-Gulam. We believe in the creator and the Lord of this boy. We believe in the law of this boy. Faqeel al-Malik. So those personal advisors who are advising him in the wrong way, they told him, Ara'ayta ma kunta tahdhar? Said, this is what you are afraid of. Faqad wallahi nazala bika. What you are afraid of happened to you now. قَدْ آمَنَ النَّاسِ كُلُّهُمْ. The whole city now believes in Allah. Subhanallah. فَأَمَرَ بِأَفْوَاهِ السِّكَكِ فَخُدَّتْ بِهِ أَخَادِيدْ وَأُذِّرِمَتْ فِيهَا النِّيَارِ. So he asked all of the, since people are in one place, right, to block all the roads, you know, they can pass and go out of the place. You know. And nobody can go out. And he asked them to make huge trenches and they put fire in it. Qala, man raja an dinihi fada'uhu wa illa fa'aqhimuhu fiha. He says, whoever agreed to go back to worshiping the king, let him go. And whoever disagree and he still agreeing to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, put him in the fire. قال فكانوا يتعادون فيها ويتدافعون فجاءت امرأة بابن لها ترضعه. So people kept just going to the fire. They don't mind. Yeah, because they know that if they agree to go back to the religion of the kings, they lost. They're going to hell. So they just agree to be kept to be put in the fire, all of them, until the time they reach that woman and she has a baby. Tiny baby, you know, newborn baby. So, and she was breastfeeding this baby. فَكَأَنَّهَا تَقَعَسَتْ أَنْ تَقَعَ فِي النَّارِ فَقَالَ الصَّبِي إِصْبِرِي يَا أُمَّهِ فَإِنَّكَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ. So she started becoming lazy. And also, she's afraid of going inside the fire, looking at her baby, and she's going to just go into the fire. Planning to make a decision, maybe just to go out, not to get inside the fire. Then the baby look at her and say, Ya Ummah. He says, Mother. He says, Ummi, my mother. He says, Isbiri. Be patient. فَإِنَّكَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ. You are upon the truth. Yeah, and then she just put herself inside. SubhanAllah. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show mercy upon her. And تَقَسَّبِ. Let the baby talk. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are three babies that talk in the cradle. Who are they? Isa alayhi salam, Sahib Juraj, and no, this is number four. That was another hadith. Okay. It's the three people that talk in the cradle. Isa alayhi salam, we know. And that boy who was breastfed by his mother, but not this one. Although this one also was breastfed by her, but not this one. She was breastfeeding the child. And then she was sitting in a place breastfeeding him, and a man came who looks like a king, you know, on a horse, and well decorated, you know. So when she looked at him, she said, "Ya Allah, make my son like this." So the baby stopped taking the milk and looked at the person, and he said, "No, Ya Allah, I don't want to be like this." Yeah. And then she continued to breastfeed him. After a moment, they brought a woman, and they kept on beating the woman, telling the sister that she committed zina, you know, this and that. She was saying, "Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakeel, I did not commit any zina." So they were beating her, they were dragging her, they were saying, "You are this and that." So the mother says, "Ya Allah, don't make my son like this." So the boy looked at the person and he says, "Ya Allah, make him like her." Yeah. And then she asked, "Why?" And the boy told her that that person was arrogant, was zalim, was this and that. I don't want to be like him. But this second one, she was innocent. She did not do any of those claims. Said, I don't mind to be like her. And the last one is Sahibu Juraj. You know Sahibu Juraj, right? That person who, he is a monk, you know, among the children of Israel. And his story is quite interesting because it shows you how bad and how evil were the Jews. Because this is one of them. Yeah, suppose if you have one of you who is doing the right thing, even if you're not doing that, you support him. But the Jews are not like that. Yeah, so Juraij was a monk worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the forest. He has a special masjid that he has. Nobody visits him in this masjid. He cannot even go up except if he gives you permission to come. So his mother came looking for him, and his masjid, he put it up, you know, with no stairs, so nobody can go in. What they do is they put a rope. When they don't want to come, when they want to come down, they use the rope to come down, and they will go and get their meat, and then use the rope to go back up there. Anyway, so the mother came, and she was quite old. She cannot even see properly. So sometimes she has to put her hand like this to cover the sun for so that she can see his face. And she was calling him, "Juraij, Juraij." So he heard her voice. He said, "Ya Allah, this is my mother, and this is my prayer." Unfortunately, he always prayed, you know. So she came when he was praying. He said, "Ya Allah, this is my mother, and this is my prayer. Who do I listen to?" He prayed for his prayer. And that was his mistake, because that prayer was sunnah prayer. And if your father or your mother call you while you're praying the sunnah prayers, you have to listen to the parent. You have to stop the prayer and go. If you're praying the wajib prayer, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, or Isha, or Fajr, and this one, if your parent calls you, you cannot listen to the parent, you have to continue with the prayer. So Ashaid, he did not listen to the mother, he continued. The next day also she came, the same thing. The next day also she came, the same thing. She made the wrong dua. There's very wrong also some parents are doing to make dua against their kids. So she said, "Ya Allah," she told him, "Juraij, I call you three times, and he did not respond to my call." She said, "Ya Allah, do not let my son die until the time he got embarrassed in the presence of the Mumisat, prostitute woman." And why does she need to make this dua against her child? You know, but it happened. So Juraij know that yes, something is going to happen. You know, and the Jew, they tried to destroy him. You know, he is not doing anything to anyone, but they don't want to see him worshiping Allah. They try to destroy him. So they send a woman, you know, and this woman, she was the daughter of the king of that place, daughter of the king. She went to destroy him. So she went, she called Juraij. Yeah, his mother also, he did not listen. For sure, he would not listen to this one. So she tried, and Juraij doesn't come. What did she do? You know, she was so evil. She realized that there is a shepherd who used to come and rest next to the tent, what do you call it, the masjid of Juraij. So she went to that shepherd. She gave him herself free. You know, he committed zina with her. She has a child. When she has a child, she went to the city with the child. The people ask her, where do you get this? Nobody knows you to be having a husband. She said, this is my, this is from Juraij. My son from Juraij. Juraij, the one that is worshiping Allah in the forest, the one that was so righteous. She said, yeah, that's what you see. But in secret, he has something else, you know. SubhanAllah, they went to him because this is what they're waiting for. They went to him. They call him, he doesn't want to listen. They broke the masjid. He fell down. They kept on beating him. They beat him. So he told them, please let me know what exactly I did, you know. They told him, the boy, where did he get the boy? Yeah. So when he heard that, he remembered the dua of his mother. So he tried to see the surrounding. Who are the people around him? He said, nobody except the prostitute, the bad people. He remembered the dua of his mother. SubhanAllah, he told them, please give me a chance to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 2 rakat. They gave him a chance to pray 2 rakat. He went, he prayed 2 rakat. And you can see he knows that nobody can save him except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he knows that the best way to go back to Allah is the prayer. That's why he went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in prayer. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely. And Allah accepted his dua immediately. Ya Allah, protect me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala interferes and save him from death. When he finished the prayer, he told them, please, can I have the baby? They gave him the baby. So he hit the stomach of the baby. And he says, Ya Ghulam, man abuk? Who is your father? The baby looked at the shepherd because he was there also, the shepherd. And he said, right, Ghulam, this one. And then people were surprised, were shocked. You know, and then the truth is revealed. You know, they apologized to him. And they told him, we want to build your house, your masjid with gold and silver. Gold. He said, no, I don't want. Because they're hugging him. They said, the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on and on. He said, I don't want. He said, a true awliya, as I kept on telling you today, right? This true awliya. They told him, we're going to make it in gold. He said, no, please, just return it back to the way it was. You guys destroy it, please, just fix it back in the way it was. That's what I wanted. I don't want gold. I don't want anything, you know. That's the Juraij. That's the person number three who spoke in the cradle. But the Prophet ﷺ, when he says three people, it doesn't mean they are the only one. He just wants to catch attention. He's grouping them into different categories. Yeah, this boy also in the story of Ashabu al-Khudud also spoke when he was in the cradle. So this is the best place, inshallah, to stop for this class. In the next class, with the light, I will make a little bit comment on this story of the Ashab al-Ukhdud. But as I said, this is the closest story to be used when interpreting the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Qutila Ashab al-Ukhdud, inshallah. Allah grant you good and tawfiq. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Didn't we exceed the question and answer time? Okay, but ask whatever they have, inshallah. Let's have like 3 minutes, inshallah.
Yes, from the previous class regarding the imprisonment of Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah, I think you mentioned in the previous class that he was imprisoned over 60 times in jail. So the question is it? Was he imprisoned over 60 times in jail, or did he spend 60 months in jail? This is the question that people have.
No, there's some scholars are mentioning that he went to jail so many times, over 60 times. Put him in jail, come out, go again, come out. Many times being placed in jail, not 60 days in, or 60 months or 6 months. Yeah, they're talking about the times, the amount of the time he's going to jail. Because according to what some of them are mentioning, what really happened is when he goes to jail, jail will become an interesting place for those people who are living in that place. Yeah, because he converts the place into an educational place, teaching, guiding, educating people. And those criminals, they will not want this. Yeah, you get it? Get him out. Because if he is recruiting people, he's recruiting people according to his what they call adab and aqidah, you know, al-sunnah wal-jama'ah. And those people who usually took him to jail, they are different from his aqidah and approach. So if he's recruiting the jail people, in that, it will be a problem for them when those guys comes back. Because if those, some of them are criminals, you know, when the criminal gets the correct aqidah, that criminality that he used to have, he's going to use the same courage, but in the good way. And if you have people who are very lenient and soft, but this one is not going to be soft. You just see that, why can't we just do it? And why did you don't have right to stop me from doing it? You're dealing with Ibn Taymiyyah and some other scholars, they will tell you sorry. But this one will not tell you sorry. Tell you, I don't care. They will fight you back, you know. That will be a big problem for them. They will not let this happen, you know. So, wallahu alam, that's what we heard from our scholars, that they put him in jail so many times, and some of them said over 60 times he has been going to jail, coming out and going. Yeah. Allahu alam.
I mean, the first question is, my sister, can women travel far distance like flight with children without mahram to see her parents?
Wallahi, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in many hadith is that she should go with the mahram, and the issue is controversial matter among the scholars, but as I always say, being on the safe side for every Muslim is always better. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam canceled the jihad for somebody, and he told him, go and make hajj with your wife, although that wife is going with the companions, the most trusted people on earth. I don't know what else you can trust in this dunya. So I don't see any justification in violating the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as long as somebody can afford doing it. If she's in danger, she has a problem, then yes, she can go alone on it. But my advice is to avoid any conflict of the scholars. Just do that which you know you don't have issue when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forget about differences. This one say yes, this one said no. Just keep it aside. Just take the one that you know you're on the safe side. Yeah. And be patient and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide a means until the time you are able to do it in the correct way. Yeah, then just go ahead with that, inshallah.
Next question is, Sister Hamna, when people follow the exact time and stop eating 10 minutes before Fajr, is it okay to tell them that they are doing bid'ah?
It doesn't have application in time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I don't want you to go for the bid'ah. Just tell them, Allah, you are depriving yourself from the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No need to go for that extent. Just tell them you are depriving yourself from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make permissible upon you. Making things haram which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made halal. Because Allah says, eat until you see the fajr, or until the fajr is being sighted. That's it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to eat 10 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes before the fajr, he used to start his sahur. Yeah, so sometimes he finishes sahur when the iqama already arrives. You know. Do you get my point? When the adhan, thank you very much. When the adhan is being made, the iqama by then. Yes, I hope nobody quit the class before I fix it, you know. So he used to eat until the time of the adhan. Yeah. So no need to punish yourself. And as I said, you will not understand this until you wake up late. And then somebody told you imsak time. And you know that the muadhin has at least 10 minutes from now. And you just would keep watching, waiting for them to make the adhan. This is wrong practices. You should tell them this against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Next question is by Sister Juwaydia. Sheikh, as you mentioned, according to the hadith discussed regarding Juraij and his mother, can we also apply this for fathers and grandparents, or is it only for mothers?
For sure.
Can we apply this to fathers and grandparents? The story of Juraij that you mentioned, I said that the mother called Jurayj. So is it applicable for grandparents and fathers and all that?
Yeah. That's the parents. These are your two parents, mother and the father. No, that's a bit far. Yeah, mother and the father, this one is the direct people to you, which when they call you, you just have to listen. You must. Yeah.
Why did not Imam Malik use the concession?
Use what?
Use the concession. That the older Umas didn't have this concession, right?
Of? You mentioned that, which concession?
The Iman, that we cannot hide the Iman inside and just see that.
Yeah, in the Ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have a choice. Yeah, you have two options. Either you take the concession or you leave it. Both are okay. You have some scholars who are very, very sensitive concerning this matter. They don't want to go with the concession. They like to go with the azimah. No, no. Yeah. They'd rather die than doing that, which is too heavy for them to go against. But it is something that Allah SWT made halal for somebody who wants to go for it. Yeah. In the previous nation, they don't have this. But in our nation, it's up to you to choose to resist and to fight back, or to give them what they want and hide your iman. Yeah. Both okay.
Is one better than the other?
It depends. It depends. If it's going to reach the life to be taken, I will advise a person to go with the concession. Come and live. Keep living. Keep moving. It's better for him in righteousness to keep on guiding those people who are in need of guidance. If it is a punishment that a person might receive, and then he will go out of it, physical punishment or spiritual punishment, I will advise a person just to resist. Yeah. Yes, to resist, not to submit. Yeah. Then?
One
last question. You should say one last question, not one more question. The question cannot even be read.
What about married women?
Mm-hmm.
When
your husband,
your mom calls you.
Yeah.
Let she say she not having one of the spouse. I'm not sure the second part of the question. The first part is, what if your mom calls you while you're praying? I guess.
No, if it is your mother calling you while
you're following the spouse. Okay, I get that. You're following your spouse. The spouse has asked you to do something. And then your mom calls you.
You don't listen to the mother. Because the right of the spouse is greater. The right of the husband is greater than the right of the parent. Your father is calling, the father of the wife call, or the mother call. If there is a command by the husband to do the thing, that superseded their command. She shouldn't be harsh to the parent, but she should apologize to them that she is busy executing the command of the husband. Does it? They should understand, because the right that he has over her is greater than the right of the parent, and he's responsible actually, you know, about her on the day of judgment more than the parent. Yeah, it's responsibility of her well-being and everything. The parent don't have it. After she leaves that house, now is on the shoulder of the husband completely. So his right over her is greater than the right of the parent over her. So when she's doing something which he asks her, and then they ask her to do something, she doesn't listen to them. Then, sure. Okay. Alhamdulillah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.